Amen. Good evening to you. Good to be here tonight, Grace Baptist Church. I hope you're having a good day today. We are going to be in Romans chapter 4, in verse number 18 through 25. Romans chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 18, and we'll go to the end of chapter, verse number 25. Bible says in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse number 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written that for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered from our offenses and raised again for our justification. Tonight we're going to finish Romans chapter 4. And as you know, we've been going through the book of Romans for quite a little while now. And we're going to continue the thoughts of what Paul has been talking about in Romans chapter 4. And as we have watched the progression of Abraham's faith, I've been amazed at this man's love for God and of his faith in the Lord. It's no wonder that Paul uses Abraham in this passage as a great example to prove that salvation comes about simply because of faith. These last few verses of chapter 4 teach us that truth, that we cannot depend on keeping the law to save us. We cannot depend on our good works to save us. We cannot depend on anything external to save our souls. Paul's point here is that it has been throughout this chapter is that salvation is produced purely by faith. In an effort to teach us how faith works, Paul is going to recall one of the greatest miracles in the entire Bible. And I'm referring to that of the birth of Isaac, obviously. What makes his birth so special, though? Why is this so significant? Well, think about it. Abraham was 100 years old when this happened. Sarah was 90 years old when this happened. And if you think about it, I've actually read this up. The Guinness Book of World Records tell us that the oldest mother to give birth was 57 years old. 57. Now, there's been some speculation that there was one that was 72, but it has not been confirmed. But compared to Sarah, they're young. They're very young. But gave birth when she was 90 years old. And although this chapter, all throughout this chapter, Paul has been appealing to the faith of Abraham to prove his point that men are saved by faith. Now he's going to tell us what kind of faith Abraham had. It was faith that in the promise of the birth of Isaac. It is simple faith in what God said, and it came down to faith in God that brought salvation to Abraham. And tonight we're going to look at some lessons from the story of Abraham, and I want to entitle this message, Where is Your Faith Tonight? Where is your faith? I want you to notice, number one, Abraham's faith was well-placed. Abraham's faith was well-placed. Let's go back to verse number 18 and verse number 20, 18 through 20, I should say. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I notice in verse number 20, there was a direction of his faith. There was a direction of Abraham's faith. Verse 20 tells us clearly that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. This simply means that Abraham's faith didn't waver. It didn't waver at all. He believed what God told him was going to happen, and he took God at his word. We see that he believed without hesitation in God's ability to keep his word. What was the promise anyway? What was the promise? Well, to answer that question, we only need to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And there's actually quite a few passages back in the book of Genesis that talk about what this promise of God was. Genesis chapter 12, we'll look at verses 1 through 3, and then we'll skip around a few. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God came to Abraham during this time, and he was giving him a promise that he was going to make him a father of many nations. In chapter number 13, verses 14 through 18, we see a continuation in Genesis chapter 13, verse number 14. Bible says, "The Lord said unto Abraham, after the lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." And we'll stop at that verse. But you can see the promise of God here was that he was going to make Abraham a father of many nations. And this was the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham got a promise from God, and Abraham had to believe that promise. He did believe that promise. He did not waver in his faith. It seemed like it was impossible here. Basically, Abraham directed his faith toward God even when it seemed what he had been promised was totally impossible. Now, the bottom line here is this. It all boils down to whether or not you want to believe God. Whether you want to believe God is what the reason it all boils down to. Whether it is for salvation, whether it is for any area in life, whether it's the results of your faith will always determine by the direction of your faith. The faith that is placed in God is faith that will always be rewarded, by the way. It will always be rewarded. And we see that in Abraham's life. It was rewarded unto him because he had great faith in God. So the direction of his faith, but I also notice in these verses in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, the duration of his faith, the time frame of his faith. Look in verse number 18. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he had spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now, when the promise was first given to Abraham, he was 75 years old at the time. This was in the first time God gave him the promise. Even then, this promise seemed impossible. I mean, he's 75 years old. Do you think you're going to have a child at 75 years old? But it seemed like it was impossible. However, when the promise was last confirmed in chapter number 17, and in the book of Genesis, Abraham was 99 years old at the time. Which seems even more impossible by that time. But the Bible tells us that Abraham believed. Abraham believed God. This word in the tense suggests that he believed God when he received that promise, and he kept on believing it through those 25 years up until the promise was fulfilled. That kind of faith can move mountains, by the way. That's a great kind of faith to have. Let me just encourage you, some of you tonight, who may be waiting on God for something. You may think, well, God's going to answer this, but it seems like God is making you wait a long time. Can I tell you that God may make you wait a little bit? He may do it, but can I tell you that He is still working on it? He still knows what is on your heart. He understands what you're going through. It doesn't mean that the answer is going to be yes right away, although we like to have the answer yes right away. And of course, when God says no, we don't like it when He says no. But we still know that God worketh all things for good. We understand this. And we know that sometimes He makes you wait. And you know what? I'm grateful for the times that God makes us wait, because sometimes we have to really rely on Him because we're not ready for that time when we want it. We may not be ready for that time. But God will do it in His timing. It is His perfect timing. It's not our timing that things ought to get accomplished. It ought to be in God's timing, folks. It may be that He's making you wait. But I encourage you to stay faithful even when He was waiting. You know, Abraham did this. He waited for 5 years for this promise to be fulfilled. And can you imagine what Abraham was probably thinking during this time of that waiting? I mean, 25 years of waiting for this promise of a son. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would keep that same kind of faith that Abraham had. But he's an example to all of us, to what kind of faith we ought to have. I see the duration of his faith, but I also see the determination of there were three truths. Let me check on this battery. Am I dying, brother? No, I'm good. Okay. Just want to make sure. I thought it went out for a second. I'm still loud. Okay, good. There are three truths revealed in verses 18 through 20 that talk about the determination of his faith. And they serve as an encouragement for us tonight as well. First of all, in verse 18, he refused to listen to reason. Notice the phrase, hope against hope. You know, Abraham had to believe, or he had to have had his eyes on one greater than himself. If his eyes were on his own circumstances, then he had every reason to doubt the promise that would be fulfilled. If that were any of us, we would say, well, things like, well, I'm just too old. This thing is not going to happen. If I was in Abraham's shoes, I'd probably say that. I'm too old. These things are not going to happen. Sarah's old. There's no way this is all going to happen. But apparently, Abraham refused to dwell in the negatives here. He chose to believe in the positives. He chose to believe the promise of God, that God knew what God said He promised him He was going to do, He was going to fulfill. And Abraham believed this, and that was enough for him. That was enough for Abraham. And what a lesson that is for you and for me. Maybe tonight God is maybe saying something to you, but maybe He's saying, wait. You know, we ought to trust God in the promises, because I can tell you that He will keep His promises. He has never broken a promise, and He never will break a promise to anybody. But I tell you what, if He has promised you something, if you know God has promised you something, He will fulfill that promise. I guarantee it. You can take it to the bank, because anybody else in this world, they can break promises, but God will never break His promise. But I see that he refused to listen to reason. He refused to see around his circumstances. He chose instead to trust God with his circumstances. But I also noticed that he refused to look at reality. In verse number 19, Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He refused to look at the situation. His eyes were focused on the promise of God. Can you imagine this old couple as they prepared for the birth of their son? I can't imagine being 90 and 100 years old, the birth of a child. Now, did he doubt? Sure. He did. Everybody, he's only human. I believe all of us would have doubted. But in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17 and 18, we are told that Abraham and Sarah laughed when they heard the news about the baby being born. I mean, wouldn't you laugh if an angel of the Lord would have come and told you, you're going to have a child, and you're like 75, you're 80, or something like that. But can I tell you that it seems like it was impossible. Surely he and Sarah felt that this promise was more than maybe just a cruel joke or something. But yes, he may have doubted, but he acted on his belief. Does that make sense? Because, you know, faith is not 100% certainty. Faith is belief mixed with unbelief as well. But action is taken on belief. When we let the doubts in our lives win, that's not faith, folks. That's not faith when we allow doubts to come into our mind. When we trust God's word, and in spite of our doubts and act upon it, that's faith tonight. Abraham was a man who believed and doubted at the same time. But he acted on his faith. He acted on his faith. How was his faith revealed? Well, he changed his name. His name at the beginning was Abram, as you may know. Back in Genesis, this name means exalted father. Now, when he received the promise from God, he changed his name to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. Many probably thought that he was just being maybe a crazy old man, but God saw it as an act of the deepest faith that there ever was. Abraham certainly had his doubts. He was only human, but he did not let them get him sidetracked. He understood that God gave him a promise, and he understood, I may not understand how God's going to do it, but I believe God's going to do it. You know, this is the kind of faith that we need to have day in and day out, folks. We may not understand what God wants us to do in life, but we're going to believe that God knows what's best for our lives. You know, I didn't understand when a situation happened back in Mississippi. Back then, I didn't know what God was doing. It may look to me like it was a hopeless situation. It looked like I could have gotten down about it, but you know what? I had peace that God knew what he was going to do. And you know what? I look back on that and I thank God that he got me out of that situation, because now it got me to where I'm now. And I'm grateful for that, because it shows me God's plan. God was not done with me back then. And by the way, he's not done with you tonight. If he was, then you wouldn't be here tonight. And I'm grateful that he is not done with you, done with any one of us. You know, God can really use your life, but all you got to do is say, here am I, Lord, use me. You know, I'm grateful tonight that he still uses dirty, rotten sinners like me. I don't deserve to be used, but I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful that I'm serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight. Can I tell you that Abraham, he refused to look at the circumstances around him. He decided that he was going to have faith in God. Maybe it's high time for us to have faith in God and look and stop looking around at what's going on in our world. You know, when we look around in our world, it could get depressing, can't it? It can get depressing what's going on in our world today. But you know what? I'm not worried about what's going on in our world, because I'm on the winning side, folks. I know I'm going to heaven one day. I know that the worst thing that could ever happen to me is I'm going to wake up in the presence of my Savior. You know, I'm grateful for that this evening. No matter what happens, I know I'm on my way to heaven. You know, Abraham, he refused to look at his circumstances, but he also refused to look at the reward, or to lose the reward. He refused to lose the reward. Look in verse 20. Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham lived for 25 years with the knowledge of the promise that God was going to give Sarah and him a child. He knew it, and he refused to let that go until it was fulfilled. He obtained that promise, but because he responded to God's promise in an attitude of faith. I don't know what you need from the Lord tonight, but if you have his promise in the matter, then I challenge you to act on that faith. You know, act on the faith. Learn what faith is. Learn that nothing else pleases the Lord. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Also learn anything less is sin. After those lessons are learned, simply take God at his word and hold on tight, because God will fulfill his word. I guarantee he will. Abraham's faith was well placed. Number two tonight, Abraham's faith was well pleased. Abraham's faith was well pleased. Look in verse number 21 and 22. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform. Then therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I see that he was pleased with God's promise. His faith was pleased with God's promise because he knew that they were as God. He was serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who made them. And what I see here is a man who did not look for reasons to doubt God. He simply took God at his word and praised God for the answer, even though it may have not yet been visible. That faith is pleasing to the Lord, folks. And all I can say to you this evening is just simply trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in whatever in life. He is good to His word. By the way, I would trust God more than anybody else in this entire world, because everybody else, they can lie to you, they can make false hope for you, but Jesus Christ will never do that. He always gives you the right. He will never lead you astray. He will always be there to keep His word. What He has promised, He will do. We need to be pleased with His promise, but also pleased with God's performance. In verse 21, in the latter end, it says that let's go to verse 21. It says, He was able also to perform. Pleased with God's performance as well. He knew that what God had promised to do, God was able to do. He did not look at the problem with one and downsize God with another. He simply took the Lord at His word and knew that if God said that it would happen, God would see to it that it was going to happen. This is why Abraham could take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, willing to offer him as a sacrifice. And he understood that God would provide Himself a lamb. And Abraham was ready to plunge that knife into Isaac's chest. And an angel stopped him. And God said, "That thy faith," he told him that your faith is strong here. And God gave him a sacrifice. Praise God for Abraham's faith. How many of us would have been in that situation? I don't think I would have done that. If God had told me to go up to a mountain and sacrifice that little girl back there, I don't think I could do it. I say, take me instead. Don't do this to my child. But you know what? Abraham had faith that God was going to provide, and God did provide, and God blessed the faith of Abraham. He was pleased with God's performance. Again, I'm telling you this evening that you can count on God to answer His promises. He is still able to move in the power that He's always been. He's still the same God that Abraham served. He's still the same God tonight. You don't think He can't do what He did back then? He could do that and even more what He did back then. Praise God for that. But also, He was pleased with God's plan. Verse number 22, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham's faith was well pleased with the Lord because the Lord took the faith of this old man and credited his account in heaven was righteousness. Put it another way, God saved the soul of Abraham because he took God at His word. God's plan for Abraham is still the same plan for you and for me tonight. He just wants us to take Him at His word and act on His promises as if they were real. By the way, they are real. The promises of God are real tonight, and He wants us to take those promises and act upon them. So I see Abraham's faith was well placed. I see Abraham's faith was well pleased. But number three tonight, Abraham's faith was well preserved. Abraham's faith was well preserved. Look in the last three verses of our chapter, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I noticed there that it was preserved as a promise here. We are told here that the promise was not just imputed righteousness to Abraham, but it was also to everyone who exercises faith. Not just any faith, but the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lesson here about salvation. Abraham acted on the light that he had received and was declared righteous by God. He was saved by faith, just the same as any person in our day is saved, by grace through faith. However, the object of our saving faith is different from that of Abraham. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. However, Abraham took God at His word concerning the birth of Isaac for future multitudes, and that every family on earth would be blessed, and God accepted that as saving faith. You know, Abraham believed in the promises of God. For us to be saved, we have to react to the light that we have seen and accept Him as our Savior. Now, the light that we have received was revealed in Jesus Christ, is the way to God. If we're going to be saved, it isn't just merely faith, but faith in Jesus and what he done on the cross of Calvary. We have to believe that he died for our sins and that he arose again from the dead, which he did do that. But we have to believe that in order to be saved. It's preserved as a person as well. You know, the promise boils down to one man. That's Jesus Christ, the God-man. He is the central focus of every promise that has ever been given. He's the one through whom all nations of the world will be blessed. You see, he is the one who dies on the cross and rose again from the dead. He is the one who paid for the sin that I couldn't pay for, and he rose from the dead to be our Savior. He is the focus of faith. If he isn't, then our faith is dead tonight, folks. But our faith stands on two great pillars of truth, that Jesus died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. If you can believe this and can place your total, your faith in these truths, then the Bible says that you are saved. You are saved tonight. But if your faith is in something else, if it's in works, by the way, I believe it's a good thing to do good works. I believe we ought to do good works after we're saved, but they're not a requirement to be saved. You know, I believe, we talk about baptism. I believe baptism is a picture of one getting saved, but it doesn't require you to be saved. Baptism is just a picture of after you get saved. It's a public notification. It's telling others that you have been saved and it's not a requirement to be saved. Think about this. We talked about it before. The dying thief on the cross next to Jesus, he didn't come to church. He didn't read his Bible. He didn't get baptized. What did he do? He said to the Lord, "Remember me this day when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He didn't do anything else. This thief, the man who deserved to be on that cross next to our Savior, who didn't deserve to be on that cross, he didn't do anything to get saved except believe. That's the way to salvation, folks. It's not by works. It's not by anything else we can do. Again, remember we talked about salvation is a done thing. It's not what you can do to get saved. It's already been done. It's settled forever. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he took those sins upon himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we believe that Jesus did that, the Bible says we're going to heaven. You say, that's so simple, Brother Matthew. Why can that be? How can that be? I don't understand it myself, but I know that that's how it is because that's what the Bible says. And you know what? If God says that's the way it is, I'm going to believe him because you know what? He has never been wrong and he never will be wrong. And you know what? Tonight, if you're not saved, if you're having faith in other things getting you saved, can I tell you that faith is dead? That faith doesn't work. The only way to get to heaven is to believe that Jesus came and died for your sins, for my sins, and that he arose from the dead 3 days later. That's the simple message that Paul is trying to explain. It's not by in the law. It's not by in works. It's not in circumcision. It's not in what any man could do. It's what through Jesus Christ has already done. You know, it wasn't the law. It wasn't that. But, you know, where is your faith tonight? Is your faith in something else? If it's in something else, the Bible says, you know, you can do good works. You can come to church. You can read your Bible. You can do all this, and you could still spend eternity in hell. There are people tonight that I believe that are in hell, that have read their Bible, that know the Word of God, that came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever the church doors are open. But because they never place their faith in Jesus Christ, they're spending eternity in hell. And you know what? There are some people that, you know, there are some probably people still living in the churches today. They're still living and they're still believing that they're going to go to heaven by being a good person. That's not the way to salvation. That's not the way to heaven, folks. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You only have to believe. So where is your faith tonight? Is it in what you could do or is it in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night.